off the ball rugby.
There was a goal in the two teams, and that was the most disheartening thing. And does that mean that Leicester can't come back? No, of course. Like, of course they can rebuild, but the mountain is bigger than it's ever been.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.
Yes, hello and welcome to the latest episode of the LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Stephen Doyle back with you again this week for the episode. Thankfully, I was feeling just about better on Friday night to head up to County Louth for the big derby match. So let's have a listen to what happened on Off the Ball last Friday night.
Yes, thanks very much, Owen. You are welcome to Sullivan and Lamb Park, where the teams are just coming out here onto the pitch. But there's certainly nothing friendly about the derby we're about to witness here at Sullivan and Lamb Park. Oh, here's a Ruby. He's into the box. He's got Quinn on his back, and he knocks it into the nets. It's a goal for Dundalk. The deadlock broken in the Louth derby. And it was an easy enough finish in the end for the Ruby to get past his man. Quinn chased him as best he could. And it's a goal from the star striker for Dundalk this season in the 18th minute. Gebemia Ruby, that's his fifth goal of the season. It's certainly the biggest goal he's scored all season.
Ruby, absolutely razor sharp. And a bouncing ball in an absolute instant. Drives into the 18-yard box. He's got a draw to the centre-half all over him. Shows brilliant strength and great composure to find the back of the net.
It's an outswinger from Cavanagh. It's a header into the goal! It's an equaliser for Leo Barney. He runs over to the ultras, kisses the badge, and he puts his hand behind his ears, celebrating a massive equaliser in this massive game in County Louth. The derby's all square. 11 minutes into the second half. It's Tralee United 1, Dundalk 1. Game on.
Now, well, I did say set pieces could be huge here for Drogheda.
A bit of cramp there for Danny Mullen. And there is the full-time whistle blown by the referee, Rob Hennessy, who's had a really good game tonight in what was a hotly fought Louth derby between Drogheda United and Dundalk. Dundalk opening the scoring in the first half. Their star man up front, Arubi, scoring the goal. They led 1-0 at the break. And just 11 minutes into the second half, it was Drogheda United popping up with an equaliser. Leo Burney scoring his first goal for the club since moving over.
We were really disappointed with what happened on Monday and not to get a result in that game. So, you know, we've come in off the back of two games leading into it compared to their one, and they were the better side in the first half. Obviously, we've had to change a few things the second half. A little twitch and switch to our system with putting two players up front. Felt that we managed the game really better. We stopped the threats that Dundalk caused us in the first half with the high forwards going inside and wing backs getting around them. It did cause us a number of issues. But the big difference was we got close to them in the second half. They felt the force of our team. We were close to challenges. We were winning first ball. We were close to second ball, and the two forwards caused them a lot of problems. Leo scores a great header. I think he could possibly score another one. When one goes in, it goes over the bar. And we're happy to take the points.
Shown that earlier this season as well, you know what I mean? Darragh came off half-time against Bowes and we didn't really go to second half, and that can't be an excuse. We need to have, we need to be better. Do you know what I mean? We need to have more quality on the ball. We have to be more intensity in our pressing. And as you said, first half it was good. It was as expected, the game. Weathered a few long balls and a few, you know, moments, and they're a good team. They're well able to play, and I thought first half we were very happy, but second half we didn't perform anywhere near our level, and I don't think we can honestly say we deserve to win the game on the back of the second half.
Yeah, that's the Dundalk boss, Kieran Kilduff, speaking to myself after that match on Friday night. And before that, you heard Darragh Doyle, who was in the dugout as Kevin Doherty was suspended. And myself and Keith Tracy there in commentary duty for the Louth derby. It's been smashing weather, lads. It's a shame there was no games on Monday. Would have been a good night for some matches in the League of Ireland. But we've got a long wait between 7 days between the games. So to discuss all of the games coming up this week, I have, of course, got with me the great Garrett McGlynn and Vinnie Perth. Lads, how are you doing?
Not too bad. Well, we had a friendly up in Celtic Park.
Oh, yeah.
It couldn't have been. It ended up 0-0. It was a friendly. It seemed like a friendly the whole way through it.
Yeah, could have done a game in Dublin on Monday night, Vinny, couldn't we?
yeah, absolutely. We'll say no. Yeah.
Were you there?
That's why we were champions. That's why we were champions. Not bad listening to that, Steve-O.
Well, listen, I just have to say as well, there's a lot of talk going on about the last Dublin derby between Bows and Rovers before the stadium gets rebuilt. But of course it's not, because the two women's teams will clash in October. So that will be the last Dublin derby before the stadium gets redeveloped, if it does go ahead at the end of the year. Fingers crossed with that one. But look, listen, I didn't get to see it on TV. Were either of you watching the game? Or you would have been obviously at Celtic Park. Gareth Finney, did you get to see the? Were you on duty Monday night? I said I was totally clocked out of what was going on TV wise, but I'd say
no, I wasn't on duty Monday, and I was away from Dublin, so I was searching everywhere. I was on a small little island in Fortaventura, and I went into four Irish pubs, and none of them had the game on. It's an absolute joke. It's a disgrace. Call himself an Irish pub. So yeah. I returned home and watched the game on LOI TV. Just about so. Just about got to see it. Or Virgin Media Online, should I say so. Yeah, it was. Do you know what, Steve-O? It's interesting discussion, actually. I done Dundalk and Rovers the week before, where myself and Ben were up in Oriel Park. And I listened to some of it back. And, you know, on a roundup on a Saturday morning, which is brilliant. I heard myself so excited, shouting, roaring, because the emotion of the game, how good of a game it was.
Gareth, I might just say to you as well, I was actually, you know, at Dalyman Park, speaking to a pal of mine that I'd usually go to the games with, and he was saying to me that he'd been watching the Loud Derby on Friday night on Virgin Media. He said that the whole show, everything about it was brilliant. The guys at Virgin putting in a huge amount of effort into the broadcast, as we do ourselves at Off the Ball. And the one thing I'd say as well is that the game itself, the Loud Derby, really fiercely contested battle. It was a great game to watch. And I'd say a Monday night as well, whatever about the results, obviously Rovers beating Bows by 2-1, and that game in tandem with the Derry City Shelburne match, nil all. The game itself on Monday night was absolutely brilliant. It was a really top quality match. You had Bows playing some sensational football, not getting the win because Rovers were showing why they are champions, that they stuck out until the end and managed to get the two goals to win the match. So there really is some absolutely brilliant games going on so far this season around the league.
And it's funny, Steve-O, all the brilliant games seem to involve either Shamrock Rovers or Bows. Bows obviously played Galway in an unbelievable game last Friday night. We had Dundalk beaten Shamrock Rovers the previous week or in that the same week. It seems to be Bows and Rovers. The other teams are getting up for it. They're getting more intense. And then there's the other games that just are lacking anything but intensity. I mean, Derry's two games at home on Friday, Monday were just, there was no intensity in them at all from both sides, from Pat's Derry and Pat Shelburne, or Derry Shelburne. But yeah, Shamrock Rovers and Bows just seem to be getting all the best games, all the best goals, the intensity, the best football. If we can talk about the Galway game against Shamrock Rovers, the goals in that game and the football being played is exceptional. I mean, when we had this discussion 2 or 3 weeks ago about the quality of the league, you just need to watch that one game to have a look at the quality of that one game. To me, epitomizes what the league's all about at the moment. It's about players going and trying to outscore each other and teams trying to outscore each other with unbelievable goals and aggressive attacking play. Great game on Monday night from what I hear and I've seen on the highlights.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, we're going to try and get Vinny back. Just in the meantime, to let everybody know, of course, listen, if you're a League of Ireland fan, and you like the radio, if you like to have a listen to podcasts and all that kind of stuff, this is the place to be, of course, Off the Ball. We've got a live commentary game every Friday night. We're back in action on Friday evening with the match between Shamrock Rovers and St. Patrick's Athletic. It's going to be Phil Egan on duty for that game. Really looking forward to it. It's going to be a really good Dublin derby between the top two sides in the league currently as we speak. Then, of course, we'll have LOI Late Night. That's going to be back again on Friday night on X. So if you do want to hear about, you know, how all the other clubs around the leagues are getting on, you, of course, can jump onto the X platform, onto the Off the Ball page. You can also, you know, try and have a chat with the lads yourself if you want to give any of your opinions on the games that have been happening. And then, excuse me, We've got the LOI wrap-up as well. So that gets podcasted into your feed, wherever you get your podcasts, every Saturday morning. Ross Flanagan from Off the Ball will have all the roundup from the post-match interviews. I know we're going to have Ben Symes hosting LOI Late Night this week with Shane Keegan. He'll be at the Shelburne-Galway match as well. So he'll be getting all the post-match reaction from John Caulfield and from Joey O'Brien after that game. And Phil Egan, our commentator at Tallaght Stadium, we'll be getting all the post-match from Stephen Bradley and Stephen Kenny after that match as well between Shamrock Rovers and St. Patrick's Athletic. I'm hoping we've got Vinny back up on the line again. No, not just yet. So I'm going to speak to Gareth about that Shamrock Rovers St. Patrick's Athletic game. Interesting, Gareth. I just wonder, do you feel like, because obviously Shamrock Rovers went into that Bowes win, which you would think might be a kind of a reinvigorating result for that whole squad, but they went in off the back of those two defeats. Do you think they're over that blip yet, or will the performance by Shamrock Rovers on Monday night, because I think, you know, even neutrals felt maybe that Bohemians were the better side on the night, does that result, do you think, maybe say that they are over that blip yet, or do they still have some concerns going into this game against St. Patrick's Athletic this Friday night?
He's got a rich of players there at his disposal. But I think it was telling Stephen Bradley's kind of passion and celebrating the goal at the end of the game. You could see that meant a lot. And you could see that getting that one against your better rivals away from home was just what they needed after two defeats. Because two defeats, don't get me wrong, it wasn't two defeats that they were beat two or three. It was two narrow defeats, Sligo Rovers in the last minute and a tough away match at Dundalk. So I just think, I know Vinny's a massive fan of Shamrock Rovers and he thinks they're going to win it by 9 or 10 points. I just don't see that. And it's not the case that I don't think they're good enough. Of course they're good enough. It's just the consistency and the breeding of young players and new players into the team, the loss of Pico. There's a load of factors involved in that. I just think it's going to be a lot closer than people think. And I think the last 3 weeks, including the Monday night victory, shows that as well. Because, and don't get me wrong as well, it's not a case of we're trying to put Shamrock Rovers down. I think a lot of the credit for Monday night has got to go to Bowes. I mean, they put an unbelievable performance in against Galway in that match, a 4-2 match. They were incredible. They continued that in the Shamrock Rovers match. And they played really well at home, which you would expect. And you've got to remember that these are teams that are shooting for the league at home against their better rivals. They're not standing for a draw. They're not playing for a draw. They want to go and put a stamp down and beat them and kick on up the league. And that's what you saw there in Bowes. Even towards the end of the game, they were going for the winner. Then they got sucker punched, which can happen. It was an unbelievable cross by Watts and his left foot. And the movement from McGovern was brilliant. Dived in front of Hickey, took him into that space, then backtracked. The ball loops over Hickey's head, and it's an unbelievable, powerful header from very little backlift. So no, I wouldn't be overly concerned with Rovers, but they're definitely not flying. And again, they have Pats next, and then Shelburne. They have two tough games off the back of this, so that one could be pivotal. Had they have gone and even drawn that game, then it would have been, you'd have been going into those two games going, oof, where's the next one come from? But two massive games and then away to Waterford after that. So I wouldn't be too concerned about Shamrock Rovers, but I think it'll be two tough games in the next 2 weeks.
Yep, I do think we're going to get Vinny back up here. So I'm just looking through the Shamrock Rovers, St. Patrick's Athletic head-to-head. So, of course, they've met already twice this season. Shamrock Rovers have taken 6 points from St. Pat's and, you know, you're kind of taking off what is regarded to be one of your title rivals. To be taking 6 points off St. Pat's is really massive. They played them on the 20th of February at Tallaght Stadium, and the goals there from Michael Noonan and Adam Brennan. And then, of course, they played that game in Inchicore, which was the game in Inchicore was played on the 10th of April. Shamrock Rovers taking a 1-0 win. Jack Byrne scoring the 9th minute, and Rovers managed to hold out for over 80 minutes then to see out that victory. So a really impressive pair of results for Rovers in that particular head-to-head. When you look at the head-to-head then, as regards Tallaght Stadium, Shamrock Rovers really have been the dominant side. They've won the last three against St. Pat's going back to the 7th of March. The last time Pat's won at Tallaght Stadium was September 2024. They had a 3-0 win there with Joe Redmond, Jake Mulroney scoring. Mulroney getting two, of course. He is now with Shamrock Rovers. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on against his old side this Friday night. Of course, I did say Phil Egan will be commentating on that game for us live for Off the Ball. Do we have Vinny back yet, or is it still just Gareth yet? We still have Gareth there anyway. We're still waiting to get both Gareth and Vinny back up on the line. So I'm going to have to try and kill a little bit more time. Going into this game, Shamrock Rovers and St. Patrick's Athletic, when we're looking at the standings in the Premier Division table. So Rovers have played 19 matches. So over half the games, 37 points. They've now got a 5-point lead on St. Patrick's Athletic in the Premier Division table. Gareth, how important do you think it is for St. Patrick's Athletic with that 5-point gap? They do have a game in hand over Rovers, so they could, you know, realistically go 2 points behind them if they win that game in hand. How important is it that they get something from this game? They've lost the first two this season against Shamrock Rovers. How important is it for them to get a win or a draw even?
Yeah, and I think that's what Pats have been unbelievably good at this season. Stephen Kenny's been really good at winning the games that they should win and then competing in the games that they should compete in. They haven't been blown away by anyone, really. They're always tight games between Shamrock Rovers and Pats. But you're right, 5 points, yes, a game in hand, but you can never take anything for granted. If it were to go to 8 points with a game in hand, it has a different ring to it. So it's a massive game for them to go. And Stephen Kenny just doesn't do, oh, we'll go and not lose the game. That's not the way he thinks. It's not in his DNA. He's never been like that, and I don't think he'll ever be like that in the future. He will go and play the attacking football that he only knows how to play. Obviously, not getting a goal up in the Brandywell won't sit with them. They didn't really create much. Edmondson, the top scorer in the league, was kept quite quiet. Levy was the best player on the pitch, as he is most weeks for St. Pat's. He's still firing on all cylinders. So there's no reason why they should go there and be fearful of Rovers. But I do agree with you. I don't think they can afford to get beaten again.
Yeah. Vinny, I suppose they got a bit more time to prepare than Rovers for this game, as they didn't have a match on Monday night. I was at the game at Inchicore the last time out. You were there as well. You saw it. I suppose the most notable thing about Pat's performance that night was just the lack of intensity. It was the Shamrock Rovers players who were, you know, hunting in packs, getting into the face of the Pat's players. You know, how do Pat's avoid that happening again at Tallaght Stadium on Friday?
They do exactly what Gareth said, except the opposite to it. Because I think Gareth is drunk. The sun is getting to him. Because
the boy that can't afford Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. No, I accept that. That's fair enough. Because they haven't won the big games. The big games are Waterford and Sligo away this year. They haven't been consistent enough, which is why I keep saying Rovers are in the league comfortably, because the others aren't simply good enough to put them under pressure. And you're right to reference the last time they played each other. Gareth, you weren't there, right? And you would have seen the game back. But what the... He did what they matched up Rovers and tried to compete with them and tried to do the exact same thing as Shamrock Rovers. And Stephen didn't play the Stephen Kenny way the last time he played. He'd done what Higgins has done before up in Derry, and so many teams do when they play Shamrock Rovers. They try and match them, and ultimately Rovers are the masters of that. He played Chris Forrester ahead in a box in midfield, and he hadn't got the legs for it. And so that's not failing on his terms that we would. Players, people who love Stephen, who think the world of him as a coach, as a person, are looking at that going, no, that's not how you fail. I understand having to do certain things like that if Stephen was managing a team, like second from bottom, mid-table team, whatever. But a team trying to win the championship, which Pats should be trying to do, should go to Tallaght Stadium, play their way, trust they've got players good enough to win. And if they do, they need this result. Pats need this for obvious reasons, I get it, but they need this to prove to themselves and their own supporters and everyone else that they're capable of winning the league. Because what they've done against Rovers in that game you talked about, Stephen, in Chicago, you were there as well, was powder puff. It was wrong off the bench, as in it was wrong tactically, it was wrong physically. They got everything wrong that night. And they've got to fix that. A win would be a huge psychological. And Gareth, you know what it's like to win leagues. Imagine beating Rovers up in Tallaght. But you're not going to do it playing Rovers' way. You have to do it playing your way.
Vinny, go on, yeah, Gareth.
It's a pivotal game. There's no question about it, right? But, I mean, going there and as you say, playing the way he plays and getting beat I mean, that's going to set him back loads. And listen, don't get me wrong, Steve will be looking at Shamrock Rovers, but he's got to also be looking over his shoulder at Bowes and whoever else is going to create a last minute run for Europe as well. I mean, and I know he doesn't play for draws, but would he settle for a draw, Vinny? I mean, if you offered it now,
yeah, because they're still in the title race. Yes. Yeah. So my point about Rovers is, and Steve will sometimes misunderstands me, is they're that far ahead of everyone, not because Rovers are that dominant, because others aren't ready to win a league yet. We've seen, like, the other night is a wrong example, but at the same time, it just shows you. I was joking with Steve-O before my Wi-Fi went, that's why we're champions. That's what I meant. The Bowls fans went to bed and heard that in their head. So did the Bowls players. That's why we're champions. You don't always play well, but you get the job done. And that's the difference. And this Rovers team is in transition. We're under no illusions about that. They aren't as good as they have been before. And yes, we're talking about brilliant young players like Corey O'Sullivan, John O'Sullivan, Victor Ozevina, Michael Noonan. We're talking about really outstanding young players, Brennan, involved with the Irish squad now. But there's a weakness about them. So this is why it's huge for Pats to go and say, we're playing Albazetti, whoever it is, or James Brown is bombing. We're not going to a boxing midfield. We're going to play airway. We're going to trust the players we have. We're going to give King Levy, when we win the ball back and in that transition, we're going to say to King, go and light up the league for us. People are paying in to watch you. You're the best player in the league on your day. Go and show us. And if you show us and we get 3 points tonight, do you know what? A proper title race. And all of a sudden then, Rovers on a little bit of pressure because Lewis, and they're just cruising to another league title.
Well then, Vinny, just because he has played a back three, Stephen, in other games, so is he going to stick with the back three and just construct his midfield in a different way? What do you think is the best way for Pats to line up in this game on Friday night?
No, I know he's played with a back three. It's what he can't do is, you were in Richmond, Steve, all right? So in case anyone thinks I don't know what he could think, I'm just telling you what I see, whether people like it or not. That box in midfield he played against Rovers, Jack Bourne, Victor and Borky had an absolute field day because Pats didn't have the legs to get around. Rovers were totally dominant, and actually Rovers off the ball that night were better than when they were on the ball in terms of the press.
Yeah.
So you've got to hurt them in a different way. And think about the wingers that they have. As I said, whether it's Albazetti, it's can you sacrifice one midfielder and have two wingers and a centre forward? And yes, we know Rovers will be dominant in that centre midfield, but they haven't been at their brilliant best with that box in midfield. And we've seen them try that second striker at different stages, you know, and whether it's been Victor, Jack, Mahili and Graham Bourke, or sometimes you've seen Aaron Green come into the team as the second striker. So what will Rovers do? We don't know. But if I was Pats, just stick to your, like, whether it's a back three or not, I think what they do is they play with a back four and Turner they'll hold on to, and that'll be their type of back three. And they should be saying to James Brown, off you go, and King Levy will open the corridor from by playing narrow and give yourself absolute width on the other side. Tell Albazetti to be as high as you can on that left-hand side. And when you win the ball back, people used to say, people don't like the long ball, but when Arsenal did it to, say, Henry off the left, it was a long pass, just fire it out to Zach Albazetti and say to him, go and get the right wing back. That's the way to win the game. Wide areas against Rovers. Don't try and outpass them. Don't try and out-tactically masterclass them in midfield because it's not going to work. Too many teams have failed doing it over the last 2 years.
If you're looking at the way they played on Friday against Derry City, Turner stayed at home the whole time. He basically went to Santos, went man for man with him. It caused him a few problems, but he wasn't. And it was a direct opposite to what happened in Richmond Park, where Turner was almost a wingback. Playing as a wing back, so maybe they're trying something with Friday night in mind.
Just on the Rovers side of things, Gareth, John McGovern scoring that goal in the Dublin Derby on Monday night, massive goal for him. I think he has to kick on from here though, doesn't he? Because I watched him in the game against Galway United. He was maybe a little bit sloppy in possession, not looking after the ball well enough. Like, if you're going to lead the line for a Rovers team, you've got to make that ball stick, bring the midfielders in. And he's just seemed to be lacking a bit in that kind of department. But his goals as well, he needs to become a more regular goal scorer, I think. What have you made of McGovern, and would you kind of agree with that kind of general kind of direction I'm going with that, my thesis there on John McGovern?
Yeah, he came in last year at the end of the year, and we all kind of said, although he was mid-season, we always said that he'll be ready for next season and he'll score a lot of goals. He's raw. He is really raw, but a lot of good raw talent and attributes. Goals obviously will give him confidence. The way he took that goal the other night, Monday night, was unbelievable. His movement, we talked about it before, his movement, ticking Hickey into the front post, peeling off then, only three or four steps, but enough space to get that header and then executing the header as well. He looked like someone who's used to scoring those goals, but we haven't seen enough of it. And yes, John McGovern needs it. And Shamrock Rovers have scored a lot of goals. They've scored 30 goals, but they haven't got anybody on 7, 8, 9, 10 goals. So if John McGovern goes and scores between now and the end of the season 9, 10 goals, then Shamrock Rovers will be impossible to stop because everyone else is chipping in with goals. So if it is him, if it's Aaron Green, whoever it is, I think John McGovern's the natural one for me to be able to go up. He's got all the attributes. He's a good age. He's been in the club long enough now. I think that goal could kick him on. I'd like to see him doing well as well because it was a big step up. A lot of people looked at it going, ooh, from the Irish League to the Champions, he's going to find it tough. But he's forcing his way in there and he's getting goals, important goals as well.
Interesting to maybe stay with the team there, Vinny, of strikers, movement in the box, getting into good positions, getting yourself a bit of space. Looking to Bowes Sligo. Douglas James Taylor. I know you haven't been his biggest fan over the last year or so. What did you make of his performance on Monday night as we look ahead to their match against Sligo Rovers?
Well, when you say I haven't been his biggest fan, I think he came with a big fanfare that he was going to take Bowes to the Holy Grail. And he hasn't done that. Now, some of that's down to injuries, to be fair. So a lot of that is down to injuries. I'm just waiting to see somebody go and get 10 to 15 goals. And like, while I'm on the topic of Bowles, that's why I'm frustrated with Bowles. I think there's a chance to win the league this year. I think most of us, I heard a bit of Duffer on Monday night after the game, make the similar point. It feels like there's a chance to win a league this year. And now it's only Pats or Bowles who can do that. It just feels like that the James Taylor-Colin Whelan combination is not going to give Bowles enough goals to win the league title. So that'll be a year and a half in the club with loads of injuries. And that's my concern. It's not that. I think he's a hugely talented player. And I think in a different environment, he could probably score more goals. And there was a brilliant... And why am I talking about Rovers for a second? When you think of the second goal they got, okay... And the lads in Dundalk might tell you, I've been saying this for years. We talk about in the game, the Kevin De Bruyne cross, or I used to say Steven Gerrard does it. It's that one where as it's rolled back from, a winger into that area, somebody just comes along and whips it in first time. And too many teams aren't doing that. And my defence of strikers is it's so hard to be that natural striker now when you just don't know when the ball's coming into the box. That run of getting across the front post, we think about Meepo Ashells. One of my criticisms is get across the front post. We think of James Taylor, Colin Whelan. But as a striker, it's so difficult to play against. And why we need to see more, from in my view, goals like that goal Rovers got is... Ask any defender, as that ball's rolled back or in that wide area, you're shuffling for space, you're finding your spot, whether that's getting your line off the front post, you might be dragging out the centre forward, you're watching. And when a team puts that ball in at pace, before you're set and you've found out where the front post is, where your keeper is, where the man at the back post is your covering fullback in, it's coming in. And then that split second, you've lost. And it's an opportunity for a striker to get across somebody. Where does it Whelan, whether it's a James Taylor, whether it's a Meepo, all of these people want the early crosses and we're not seeing it. So that's my defence of the strikers. But at the same time, it's your bloody job to score goals and they're not doing enough of it. Will Colin Whelan or James Taylor get to 10 goals plus this year, Steve-O? It'd be tough. Yeah. Whelan's had a good start with the hat-trick.
Yeah.
But will he get to 10 goals? You ain't going to win a league title with that.
It's hard to believe that we're having strikers going for league titles and not getting 10, 12, 15 goals. It really is. Although, Steve, I have to admit, just on Vinny's point, we talked about it last week, right? See, since the Drogheda game, Drogheda, Galway and Rovers, if you count them many times, the ball's gone in the box for Bowes. There's obviously been a change there. There's obviously been a discussion internally, whether it's Whelan and Douglas Taylor talking to the management and saying, listen, boys, if you want us to score goals, you got to put the ball in the box. Because Flores, Power, and the main man for me, and it's always been the last 2 years, is Dale Rooney. When Dale Rooney plays, and that's been the biggest difference in the last 4 or 5 weeks, the strikers know his power, his directness, and his ability to put the ball in with both feet is massive for strikers. And if he keeps playing and keeps fit and keeps delivering balls the way he has been, then Douglas Taylor and Whelan will score more goals.
Yeah, the only problem is Derry game is a great example of who you're talking about.
Dale Rooney.
Sorry, most of his touches are in the centre circle, Gareth. He played narrow to allow his fullback overlap him.
Yeah,
you know it's hard to be a striker if you're out and out winger. And Dale Rooney isn't high, wide, and left. Zach Elbe said he high, wide, and left. Put the ball in the box.
Yeah.
You know, and I know we've all got a way of playing the beautiful game, and I get all of that stuff. And I know Pep has reinvented the game, I get all of that. But I tell you what, it's bloody hard to be a striker nowadays if people aren't putting the ball in the box for you.
Mm. I did think, though, there were chances for James Taylor to get into the box, and he just wasn't there. He doesn't seem to be killing himself sometimes to getting into positions to try and knock balls in. But sorry,
it's very lazy, Steve. Sorry to say it, but he looks a little bit like. Does it? And that's the injuries as well. That sharpness he had at Drogheda. Now, some of that's psychological as well, Steve, because at Drogheda, you knew that ball's going in the box. You weren't waiting. You weren't waiting for four passes. You weren't waiting for it to, you know, the phases of play that teams are working on the training ground. You weren't waiting for your inverted left winger to get the ball in midfield to overlap somebody. For Drogheda, when he was at his very best, it was getting out of your feet and was putting in the box at the right opportunity. So psychologically, it's very difficult for him, and I'm giving him an out here because I think he's a smashing footballer. It feels like I've been critical of him all year. And on that point, before Gareth comes back in, I've been critical of Ross Tierney at times. And an hour into the game, my head was thinking, on the next time I'm on the pod, I thought if Rovers hang on here and it's Tierney's the difference, I'll be able to go. That's why I want Tierney, because I think he's the capabilities of driving balls into the top two, if not win a league, because I think he's that good. It's not that I'm critical of him. The way the world works now, people think I'm being critical of him. I just think he's that good. In his right position, in the right environment, Ross Tierney's unplayable at times arriving into the box.
And Vinny, you're talking about 10, 12 goals from Whelan and Douglas Taylor. Tierney can get 15 goals easily. But the big difference in what I see is when Diallo's sitting at the bottom of that midfield controlling games, Devoy can get further forward. And we saw it against Galway. He sent Williams to the shop twice and put the ball into the net. He dummied one in the middle of the park and he was driving forward. For the last year and a half, and he's been one of the best players, if not the best players, with Michael Duffy. He's been doing that in the six. It's just wasted talent back there. We don't know how good Devoy is. See this nonsense where, oh, he didn't make it at MK Dons. Now he's got an international cap. We don't know how much he's come on the last 2 years. He could literally go on and kick on again. And it looks as if he's doing that when you look at the Galway match, which he basically won by himself. It was incredible.
I'd say two things of that, actually. I you guys know I've been banging on about Diallo for the last couple of years. I absolutely love him. I think he's one of those midfielders that looks like he's got so much time in the ball every time he gets it, rarely loses possession, and sometimes it's the really simple 2 yard passes and then he gets the ball back and then he's got space to put it somewhere else. I think he's a smashing midfielder. And also, sorry, just on Devoy, I just think one of the things Devoy lacks is finishing, his goal scoring, and even just, he doesn't really have a good long range shot. And I just find sometimes when he gets himself into a position, maybe he's all of a sudden surrounded by players. He just doesn't find the time to get the shot away. There's just, I think that's, it's the goals that he's lacking really devoid to his game. I don't know if you think that's fair.
Watch the first goal, the first goal against Galway. Devoy and Diallo pass the ball to each other about three or four times, right? Galway step out, the two midfielders step out, they go to the left-hand side and Devoy picks the ball up at the edge of the box and scores the goal. And everybody thinks, oh, what's Diallo doing? Passing the ball 5 yards, getting it back. What's he doing? He's wasting time. Get it forward, get it forward. He's sucking them out to create the space for in front of the back four. Brilliant.
Yeah, but on Steve-O's point guard, right, so... And there's 2 points in that. The one is Devoy goes and gets the second goal and they're 2-0 up and they're justifiably 2-0 up. He got a big chance on his favourite side, didn't take it. And then to go back to Diallo, I mean, I was lucky enough to work with Chris Shales for 8 years. Chris Shales was the master of that position. Diallo is the nearest thing to it. And he actually has certain attributes that Chris doesn't have. And he's missing one or two of Chris's, but he's the nearest thing that can control the game from a six. And I know Healy's done it over the last couple of years, but that's slightly different what he does. Diallo is more physical and will suits what Bowles are trying to do. I mean, the big question that Steve-O is, and to be fair to the management, the Bowles, we shouldn't speculate on this, but you wonder why he's not playing more.
I think it was just the fact that I know Reynolds said a few weeks ago you had to get up to a certain level of fitness, you know, when they got him at the club, he just wasn't ready. But we should move on to Sligo Rovers because, of course, Sligo Rovers in a decent position at the moment. They're on 11 points. I know they got beaten last time out to end that unbeaten run against Sligo Rovers. So they've had a long time to try and recover from that Connacht Derby defeat. But look, they could really shoot up the table if they get a win against Bohemians on their own patch. Kevin Zeffie to Sligo Rovers. Seems to be a lot of talk around this, Vinny. I'm not sure what you've heard on the grapevine. Is this going to happen? I know he's been training with John Russell's squad. Will he be a huge, huge addition to help them shoot up the table and get away from that relegation fight?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I think if they win their game, they move level on points with Derry. Someone just double-checked that me.
Yeah, that's right. They go up to sixth.
Yeah, and I think it's Zeffie would be an outstanding signing for them in terms of it's a good fit for him. Feels like there's less pressure on him. If he went to one of the Dublin clubs, even at someone like Shells or Pats, there'd be lots of pressure. People watching he can just go up there and take his time settling in. But I think he'll give them a little bit more, especially with the warm weather comes. And people have heard me say that a couple of times and gone, what is he talking about? Pitches are good. Showgrounds is good. He's a beautiful passer. He'll suit the John Russell style. And he'll just give them a new dimension in midfield or wherever he ends up playing for Russell. He often tries different bits and pieces. So I think the job John has done, I wasn't always the one that sang the loudest about the job Russell done because, you know, finishing second from bottom or third for bottom is grand. But I think this year and over the last 18 months, he's really proved it, and whether I was a doubter sounds wrong, but he's proved everyone wrong. That result in Tala the other week was outstanding, and they were worthy winners. Rovers will feel they left a few behind them, blah, blah, blah. Didn't reach their levels, as Bradley would say. Sometimes you're not allowed to reach your levels, and that's down to what Sligo done.
Yeah, sorry, I was looking at the home table there. I was having a bit of a senior moment. The Sligo defeat, their last defeat was at home, of course. They did win against Shamrock Rovers last Friday night. Big, big win for them. So they'll be hoping to do back-to-back wins against the two Dublin clubs, Shamrock Rovers and Bohemians, this Friday night. So they're on 19 points, could go level on 22 with Derry City. Moving on then to one of the other games on Friday night, Drogheda against Waterford, I think is a really interesting one, lads. Vinny, Graeme Coughlan, he seems to have the players buying into what he wants to do with regard to work rate, aggression. What's the next step?
Nothing yet for another couple of weeks. Just they've got to just keep doing what Graeme Coughlan wants them to do. You've got to remember, John Daly, rightly or wrongly, signed players to play a certain way. Graeme Coughlan has taken over a squad that he will want to play a different way. And the players have to just deal with it. Some of them will want to pass the ball a little bit more. Some of them won't want to run as much. If that's what they want, they won't be in his team. He's just going to make life really, really difficult for everybody that comes against them. And to be fair to John Daly, very seldom were Waterford outplayed by anybody, or I always felt he were nearly there in games. And maybe Graeme Coughlan has just showed them a way of staying in games, of outworking opposition, all the basics in football. He's starting to do that really well. And I don't think they need anything different at the moment. Just get closer to whoever is that second from the bottom team. And next year, if they're still in the Premier Division, they can play a different way if he wants. But between now and then, just expect them to scrap, bollock and bite until they get results.
Yeah, and they're coming up against a team that know how to do that as well, in Drogheda United. That game is taking place on Friday night at Sullivan and Lamb Park, where they got a really good draw, I thought, last Friday. Like, Drogheda weren't in the race really in the first half. Then the second half, they came out, they were like a totally different team. They decided to go with the two up front with Alua and Mark Doyle. They went back to their back three, which of course they changed after that run of defeats. They're letting in so many goals, Gareth. So maybe it is just stick with the back three, you know, trust the process, as they say, and you know, maybe they will keep getting those good results.
Yeah, I think they have to. Don't get me wrong. I think everybody underestimates, even at this stage when we shouldn't, playing against Dundalk. It's tough. It is tough. A ruby cost Quinn all sorts of problems. When they went back to the three, everybody looked way more comfortable. And I know you mentioned Leo Burney as well getting a goal. I actually had a look at him whenever he signed and he got his goal. He loves a goal for a centre-half, for a big defender. His strike rate over in, I think he was in the MLS just below it, and then in college as well, loves a goal, and he took his goal really well. But again, it was another kind of situation where the defender kind of ended up with his back to the ball and he's just headed it right into the corner. So, I mean, Drogheda, three at the back, Ryan Brennan in front of them, two up front. That's 3-5-2. That's what they've been incredible at. Anytime I've watched them live, every player knows exactly what they should be doing. They look really comfortable. And I think you'll see him continue with that now for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, he's from Seattle, Leo Burney, and seems to be really enjoying himself here. As I found out afterwards in my interview with him, you can see that on the Off The Ball social channels if you did miss it after the weekend. You went to Garfield High School in Seattle, famous school, which has seen some notable pupils like the great music producer Quincy Jones, Jimi Hendrix as well. Did you ever hear of him, Vinny? Great guitar player back in his day. No. Oh, well, yeah, you're probably still sticking with the old boys on and Westlife.
Boys to men,
yeah. Well, listen, speaking of boys to men, the other games at the weekend, Derry City.
Sorry, Tebo. Sorry, before you forget, the impact of Horgan coming off at half-time
I was going to say that to you, Vinny, because we're going to look at the Dundalk Derry City game, which is one of the other big matches on Friday night. Now, when I was speaking to Kieran Kilduff after the game last Friday, he was saying that it looked like a shoulder knock and he wasn't too sure if Horgan would be available for the game this Friday at home to Derry City, Oriel Park. Like, he did admit that, you know, the team's performance dropped after he came off. So, like, if they're without him on Friday night, it's going to be a huge boost for Derry City going to Oriel Park.
Oh, it is. They were chalk and cheese and the other day, outstanding in the first half. Like, you've got to remember, Uncanny, young footballer. Arubi, a young footballer. By the way, Arubi has hell of a chance in the game. Absolute hell of a chance. Big, tall, strong centre forward. If you're a League One, League Two club, Dundalk fans won't like me saying this, you're all over him. You're watching him like a tackler. He is exceptional. But on Horgs, I mean, he gives them that little bit of experience, know-how. And I wasn't at the ground. I was in studio. You were there, Steve. But the narrowness in which they play, and the, you know, those little touches off by a ruby, those little sort of, all of that stuff occupies centre halves. And Dundalk should have been out of sight at half time, and just didn't. A couple of things didn't go the way. One spun off the crossbar and different things. But Horgan was absolutely outstanding and right in the middle of it. And yes, they were very good at the back and the high press and all of that stuff. But you still need the magic. That's why the strikers get paid the biggest money. Still need that magic up the front end of pitch. But Arubi was brilliant. But Horgan's on a different level. And him coming off, and Darrell doesn't come off unless there's something seriously wrong, is a concern for Dundalk, because they were nowhere near the level in that second half. Or I think he came off at half-time a couple of weeks ago as well. and their form just drops off with it. So he's hugely important that they get him ready for Friday night.
I thought it was very strange listening to Tiernan Lynch last Friday. Of course, there was that scoreless draw with Shell since then, Gareth. But he was talking about the false nine, and the interviewer asked him about the false nine. Was it kind of along the lines of being the right decision? And he said, yeah, look, we created loads of chances. I was really happy the lads were getting into the box and all that kind of stuff. I'm kind of going, well, that's fine, but you didn't score any goals. You know, like, it's great having a false nine and creating loads of chances, but if you don't have a striker there to score a goal, surely it's a bad decision. What's going on? Listen,
I've been at the games, I've watched all the away games and the thing. There's not this idea that they're creating loads of chances. They're not creating loads of chances. They're not. They're sitting back and they're comfortable in their shape. They're playing a false nine. And in fairness to Clark, we all know what Clark's like, right? He's an exceptionally gifted footballer in the 10, running at teams. That's what he's really good at. I feel sorry for him. But then he takes him off at halftime on Monday night. So he almost leaves him as a scapegoat and then brings Depot on, but not to start Josh Thomas and Depot. And Josh Thomas is a really, really good footballer. And the other night as well, Rossi and the other centre half, Christ, Michelle's.
Paddy Barrett.
No. Parth, weren't comfortable. They didn't look comfortable on the pitch. Now, the pitch was awful as well, by the way. It was really long. The ball was sticking up. And Shells played to the pitch as well. The formation was perfect, playing two up front. But Derry never, ever looked like creating anything. They didn't look like scoring. It's almost, and he referenced it 2 or 3 weeks ago when he conceded 2 against Waterford and 1 against Drogheda. We need to get back to defending and keeping clean sheets. Well, my God, did they keep 2 clean sheets at the weekend? But they were never going to score any goals. And trying to find that balance going forward, I've said it before last season, I said it this season, Tiernan Lynch struggles when the onus is on them to score goals. The team isn't coached to score goals. There's no patterns of play. There's no players. Everybody's looking at one another going, what do we do now? So no loads of chances being created.
You know what that equals, Derek? You know what that equals? You're not going to win the league. You're not going to win a league anytime soon. You're going to finish mid-table, Grant, if that's what you're happy with.
In fairness, and listen, Conor Barr and Patrick McLean was supposed to be out for with an ankle injury. He played the game because he had no centre-halves. Conor Barr was man of the match both Friday and Monday. He was excellent. But you're at home. Your centre-half shouldn't be man of the match. You're at home trying to score goals. You're trying to get yourself back up the table to challenge for the last European spot. It's just not going well for Derry at the minute, and you could hear it in the crowd as well.
Yeah.
Well, and how's the energy drink sales up there going, Gareth? Are they okay?
What's that, lad?
The energy drink sales up there going well.
Through the roof, lad.
What a thing to criticise a player over. Oh, my Lord. The most.
The less is said about both of those criticisms and post, the better.
Well, lads, I'm going to have to put on my wings and fly away here because we have come to the end. We'll touch a bit more on Galway and Shelburne. That one's at Talca Park on Friday night. Should be another good battle, I would imagine, between those two sides. Shells look to be in really, really good form coming into this one. Ben Symes will be at that one, so check out all the post-match from that game.
I have to, for this week alone, I have to be the spokesman for Shamrock Rovers fans. And have the last word.
Go on.
That's why we're champions. That most haunted you.
You're spoken like a man who's won a few league titles, Vinny. Yeah. Thanks for waiting for that. Well, listen, enjoy whatever games you're going to, folks. Should be another great weekend of League of Ireland football in this beautiful scorching weather before the midterm break, and we'll have a midterm assessment next week on Off the Ball. Do tune in to LOI Late Night on Friday night on X, and check out your podcast feed for the LOI wrap up with Ross Flanagan and Phil Egan. We'll be live from Tallaght Stadium this Friday night. Are you doing co-cons, Vinny?
No, not this week. I'm a Holly Bops from this week on.
It's going to be Richie Tell. We got somebody decent in at last. So, Shamrock Rovers.
He's better looking than me, to be fair. He is a bit better.
Home to St. Pat's from 7 o'clock on Off the Ball this Friday night, and we will chat to you again next week.
The LOI Pod on Off the Ball. Catch live and exclusive national radio commentary of the Men's League of Ireland Premier Division on Off the Ball all season.